Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells, it gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. When I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
God doesn't flippantly create life. I know God better because I lost a child.
It was a vision of a couple who got pregnant and then lost their child. And he said, "Mommy, you don't need to fear. I'm in a better place." And then I saw the couple get pregnant again.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
And I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
Listen, there are two types of girls in this world.
It's true.
Girls who share lip gloss. And girls who don't.
Okay, here's the thing though. Literally, I'm like, there's so many germs out there. It doesn't matter at all. But I know this about Laura because we're on video now. So I'm like such not a lip gloss girl. I actually hate lip gloss. Like literally hate.
Do you really hate lip gloss?
Oh, it's my least favorite thing in the entire world. But my mom won't go anywhere without it. And so growing up, she was like, "Nicoletta, don't you want to put on some lip color?" And I was like, "No, mom."
Wait, do you hate all lip color and lip gloss?
I mean, I wear lip gloss if I need to, but I don't like it. But it looks great on people.
Okay, so it's not even because of the like sticky, like the hair.
No, I mean, I don't like that either.
You just don't like it.
I don't like the feeling on my lips. I think it really does make your lips look better.
Are you a chapstick girl?
No.
I've never known this.
I have heard that if the more you put on chapstick, the more chapped your lips are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. I'm like, I think it's one of those things that is like makes you think it's working, but it's actually not.
You will never catch me without chapstick.
And you're addicted to it. You will put it.
Yeah.
We will be driving. She's like, "Where's my chapstick?"
I just cannot. Listen, it's tucked in the couch. If you guys want to know where my secret spot is, it's tucked in the couch.
But like, why? You just like the feeling of it?
Yeah, my lips feel not right.
Refreshed.
They don't feel right when I don't have chapstick on. So my whole family is like this. Like all of my siblings.
So you grew up
like
this.
We got it from our dad.
You always had chapstick on.
I guess we just always watched our dad put chapstick on and then just picked up the habit and never stopped.
No, I hate chapstick. I hate lip gloss. I hate lipstick. It's literally the worst thing ever. It makes like your hair gets in it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Anyways, but back to it. Laura won't share her lip stuff with me. And sweet Abigail, our amazing video editor and just boss babe, will. And I love Abigail.
Hey, I was going to do it. I was probably just going to let you keep it afterwards.
Which in that case, I don't know why.
Because listen, I'm like weird about a couple things. Door handles, I don't touch door handles.
So how do you get into a door?
I use my sleeve. I use my shirt. I just don't touch door handles. Because I'm like, I straight up think that has saved me from getting the flu a million times.
Yeah, you had the flu last week.
Correct. I probably touched
and
a door
I
handle.
I never get the flu, so I probably clearly I'm winning.
Okay, let me just tell you this. I also have a toddler running around who has no regard for germs.
I'm also surrounded by 100 college girls every single day. So technically, college is infesting the germs.
We need you guys to settle some debates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you share the lip gloss?
Do you share lip gloss?
And who is healthier?
It's in the same category as like, yeah. do you drink after people? You know what I mean?
Yes. And then who's healthier? Don't. Me or Laura? That's the question. Who is exposed to more germs? That me or Laura? So I actually am genuinely curious. I cannot wait to hear the polls on this.
Okay. So is it the risk of having a kid who goes to school? Is that the bigger risk? Or is it being around a bunch of college girls who-
And high school students going into high schools. High school students. I go into high schools. I'm going into colleges constantly.
Okay. Here are the conversations in the mom world though. My friend texted me like, well, my daughter licked the bathroom floor at the restaurant today. That's the conversations we're having.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I licked the bathroom floor a week ago, so I don't really know where the struggle is.
I don't know whether you're joking or being serious, but we're just going to let that
She's
one
like,
roll.
She's like, she nasty. She does that all the time.
Oh my gosh, y'all. Okay, well, we're not going to do a whole episode on
germs,
lip gloss and germs and licking bathroom floors, but if you're convicted about getting drunk last night and licking the bathroom floor, then you maybe should listen to our maybe I drank too much episode.
Okay, but real talk, I actually do want to hear how you're doing.
Yeah.
Since we dropped that episode 2 weeks ago about the miscarriage. Like this is live for me. I have not been you've been sick. I've been out of town. And so this is genuinely me wanting to hear how's your heart? Like how are you holding up? That was a big thing.
Thank you for asking. So to update you guys, couple episodes ago, we shared, hey, I was in the ER all night. I wasn't sure if we're having a miscarriage or not. And we did. We lost the baby. So I learned 2 days later after that. So it was 2 days of this waiting. We're just waiting to know what's happening. Mm. There's still some hope and we're just not sure. And we did. We lost the baby. And I feel like, I mean, the next, I would say 3 days for us were like, we were together and grieving and Colby and I were together. And then when we both were separated on Monday, when he had to go to work, that was the hardest day. Yeah. And then I would say, we just had to face it. And then we're almost coming up on 2 weeks. And last night I went to go get a hard workout in for the first time. And it just kind of uncovered another layer of grief that you're just like, I've been fine for the past week and a half. And then I just pushing my body and realizing hey, my body has gone through so much in the past couple weeks, from preparing to have a child, from your hormones changing, all this stuff happening, to then losing the child. And then now your body's trying to get rid of everything that was conducive to pregnancy, and it's actually dangerous if it doesn't. So it's just weird things that your body's going through. And anyway, so pushing myself at the workout, I left about 15 minutes early, and just there was this layer of just crying out and being human life. We discard it in our culture today. We discard human life, and anyone who's had a miscarriage or struggle with infertility or just wants to be married and be a mom one day, you understand this longing, you understand this value, and it can be that doesn't make sense why someone else would be so flippant about that. But anyways, for us, we weren't trying. We were shocked. We were surprised. We were excited. We were scared. The whole gamut of emotions. And then when you lose life, I'm just that was our baby, that was our baby. We named him Luke, after the book of Luke. And Luke was a doctor, so maybe he would have been a doctor. I don't know. But yeah, I've processed a lot of different things, so I won't share too much, but I would just say life in the womb is really precious, y'all. And it's not about if you're trying or not trying, or if you're 16 and wondering if this is going to ruin your life. God is so, God doesn't flippantly create life. He just doesn't. He creates life with purpose, with value, with dignity. And whether that's a baby who doesn't have a heartbeat yet or a baby who isn't fully formed, it's a baby. That's a soul who I will see in heaven again one day. And anyways, we'd love to help you as a side note if you're if you're walking through an unexpected pregnancy, you can reach out and we'll connect you with some people, because there's another option than getting rid of it.
Okay, this is crazy. Okay, wow. I'm like shooketh right now. So
shooketh.
I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I have started the discipline of silence and solitude into my quiet time. If you don't know what that is, it's literally this posture that is really changed my life and my walk with the Lord recently. Yeah. And it's where I will sit in silence in the morning and I will have my feet out in front of me and my hands up and I'll put earplugs in so I don't hear anything going on. And I'll just like close my eyes. And I've been reading Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, just listening to different podcasts of experiencing God in the way of silence and solitude.
Yeah.
And I have been getting visions.
Okay.
And I know that sounds wonky. I don't really like that word, but I'm very visual. And so what happens, I'm just sitting in silence and I just take deep breaths and I just say like, Lord Jesus, come. And so when I first started doing it, it was in the beginning of January and just worship songs came to mind. Yeah. And so it was just like the Lord reminded me of like, hey, like I love you. And he would do it through worship songs because I knew it and it was weird. And just like different things. When I tell you the Lord has transformed my walk with him in knowing his character in the last 2.5 months through this exercise, like it is unreal. Anyways, okay, wow, I'm literally can't believe I'm saying this.
I love this.
I had a vision about 1.5 months ago, and it was a couple, and it was, and I honestly just assumed that it was maybe me and my husband one day, and it was a vision of a couple who got pregnant and then lost their child. And I then was like, oh my gosh, like that must mean that I'm going to have a miscarriage one day. But the fact that you just said Luke was that then I saw a little boy in heaven with Jesus looking down at this couple. And he said, Mommy, you don't need to fear. I'm in a better place. And then I saw the couple get pregnant again. And it was this picture of him. And then I saw Jesus wrap his arm around the boy. And he said, like, I'm taking care of him now, but I'm also going to take care of you by providing you another kid. But, like, don't fear because he's with his heavenly father now. And it was this beautiful picture. And then I saw the little boy walk away from watching, which I'm assuming maybe was y'all. But the couple was joyful because they knew that their son had gone to a better place. But they were also joyful because the Lord gave them someone else. Mm. And I have reflected a lot. My friend called me a few days ago and they're like, what do you do when your friend has a miscarriage? Because my friend just had a miscarriage. Mm. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Like, my friend also just had a miscarriage. Yeah. And when I got to tell her, I'm like, we in Hebrews, it talks about we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize in our weaknesses, but is able to understand whatever verse that is. But if anyone understands, it's God, because he literally lost his own son too. And so for us to sit here and say that God is cruel in the midst of a miscarriage, like he's like, I understand more than anyone ever can.
Yeah.
Like I understand your pain deeply. And I'm not a high priest who is unable to not sympathize with you.
Yeah.
And so I say all that to say, like, that's crazy because I also didn't think that was a vision about you when you told me about your miscarriage because I was like, oh, but they didn't know the sex. And I know without a shadow of doubt it was a boy standing next to Jesus in heaven. And the fact that you just said Luke, I just, like, literally was praying. I was like, Lord, am I allowed to see the story? Like, that might sound weird. Like, I don't want to be a weirdo. But it was just, like, this reminder. And then also the reminder, I felt like the last thing the Lord said is, like, you will be reunited with him again one day. Mm-hmm. And this earth is not your home and you have a bigger family awaiting you. And so random.
Well, first of all, like but, we don't have any tissues here.
Yeah, we need
so Abigail.
This is our amazing Abigail.
So much for the lip gloss. Who cares about that conversation? We didn't even need to put it on. Everything's off now.
Yeah.
Wow. That was really tender. And I think on the note of visions, thank you for sharing that, Nico. I think where we go wrong with some supernatural stuff is where we put it in the same level of God's revealed word. And we count it as a promise. Like people will have visions saying, I know that you're my wife, or I know that you're my husband, but you're married to someone else. Or like And then there's this doubt and confusion, and we start doubting God. And a vision like you just shared, like so clearly for the upbuilding, the building up of the church, so clearly where you're not staking at as this is Bible and this is telling you what to do, you know?
Yeah.
I think that is a way to appropriately handle that.
Yeah.
So we don't like, don't have to have fear of that. I think the Christians can like swing the pendulum between forgetting the Holy Spirit and forgetting that he's active and participating in miraculous works, which are all through scripture. I'm like, you cannot deny that God does things like that. That is wild. But we do that out of fear of being on the other side of seeking existential experiences, seeking things that are extra biblical and staking our faith in that. Because, I mean, this is a side note, but like even prophecy in the Bible, you didn't take that lightly. Like people lost their heads. Like you were literally beheaded if your prophecy wasn't 100% accurate. So anyways.
Yeah. And I say visions. I don't love that word because it does sound
I hear your
honky wonky. But for me, I feel like where the Lord's just, and it's very interesting because it's just a whole new level of faith that you don't necessarily experience just by reading your Bible. When I say visions, it just feels like the Lord is bringing like pictures to mind, a movie to mind. And like, I wish I could like, I'm going to share one that happened. I know that you saw that I did that event at TCU where it was this big event of just like truly my dream of putting on a huge workout with TCU sororities and then followed up by a talk. And it was crazy. The day after that, the Lord gave me another picture, and it was this picture of me and Jesus walking around TCU. It was like literally, it felt real. And it was as if the event had just ended and me and Jesus were walking around TCU campus, and we walked by me in college.
Wow.
And it was this crazy image of him going, in the same way you didn't know when you were a freshman in college going through a binge eating disorder that one day you would come back on this campus and tell your story and encourage women out of the lies that you believed. You have no idea what I'm going to do in your future now.
Wow.
And it was just once again, this picture of like, it's not wonky. It's not crazy. It's just literally the Lord saying, stop trying to figure out your life, Nicoletta.
And see, I think that's where, like, I love that. I love that you said vision and picture, and I think you're doing it well. And I think that there's so much where it's typically Bible churches, which I've gone to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where we just can forget that, you know? And I think that's really sweet. I think God talks to both of us in some kind of similar ways.
Yeah.
Where we'll get little taps or little nudges from the Holy Spirit. And I think the other place we get wrong is thinking that God doesn't speak to us if we don't feel that or don't hear that. And it's like, that's not necessarily true.
Yes.
But are you getting still? Are you opening God's word? Are you feeding your mind? You know,
I'm so passionate about this. And I feel like so often, so I've done in the last year, a deep dive on how to hear God's voice. Been reading books on it, podcasts, literally anything I can find, because I'm like, it says all the time in scripture that he speaks. And then what I've heard in really great churches, which I adore and love, is he only speaks in his word. So if you want to hear God speak, you can only hear him by reading your Bible, which is a really great way to hear God's voice.
I just don't think that's a full picture.
But it's not the only way to hear God's voice.
I agree with you.
And so what I have just been learning in the last year is like, Lord, like guide me with your Holy Spirit. Like the Holy Spirit is literally your counselor, your helper, your leader, your guider on this earth. He literally says like, it is better that I'm leaving you because I'm going to send somebody that is going to help you.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's been this process of really testing the visions I'm having, the voices I'm hearing, and even like, okay, God, I feel like you're tapping to me to do this. And so a lot of people are asking like, how do you hear his voice? How do you hear his voice? And it's like, test it.
Yeah.
In the way of like, if you feel like the Lord is saying, go talk to this girl in a coffee shop, go talk to her and see what happens.
Because that's something that's very in line with God's word.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's where the Spirit will never contradict himself.
Never.
The Spirit will never contradict God's word.
Yes.
Here's one thing that has been really, that I'm like, we need to fear God in this. If I think for one second that God has told me to do something or that God is telling me, even if there's a 20% chance that that could be God, and it's not sin, it's not, you know, even if there's a 20% chance, I fear God enough to be like, I can't not do that. You know,
yeah.
Like, woe be it to ignore what could be your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so.
And you just know.
Yeah.
Like we know, like the more you walk with the Lord, you will then learn him and you'll learn how he speaks. And the thing is, what silence and solitude is, we don't get quiet and his voice is quiet. We live in a loud culture.
Yeah.
And so words and you're like, well, she's just unique. She's lucky she hears God's voice. And I'm like, but are you turning your phone on? Do not disturb.
Yeah.
Like, are you getting quiet? Because, and it says this, oh gosh, is it Isaiah? And it's like, maybe, oh gosh, dang it. It's going to drive me nuts. But it's like the winds and the waves were coming and the storm and the fire. And then all of a sudden there was a quiet whisper. Mm-hmm. And it's just this picture of going, if you are constantly scrolling, if you are constantly on your phone, if you're not opening up your Bible to know at least what his voice sounds like, you're not going to hear the gentle whisper in the moment you're in a coffee shop and you feel like someone's saying, go talk to that person. Mm-hmm. Like, try it. See what happens. And how I have learned his voice is because I listen to those promptings even when it sounds crazy. And I also think the caveat is that we often look for peace before we're obedient.
Yeah.
But peace comes after you're obedient.
Sometimes. I agree with you.
Yes. I mean, not always, but in the same way. Yeah. When God asks you to do something crazy and scary, you aren't going to feel, this is going to be the easiest thing. And I think that oftentimes we don't do the things that we feel like the Lord is asking us to do because we're like, I don't have 100% peace. You think Moses had 100% peace when he went to Pharaoh to let my people go? Do you think that Abraham...
He was scared out of his mind.
Do you think Abraham had 100% peace when he brought his son up to be sacrificed? Do you think Jesus had 100% peace as he was carrying the cross up? Absolutely not. But he did it because he knew that my God is good. He is kind. He is prompting me. I'm terrified. But on the other side of obedience, there's peace. And I can relate to that because I did that with my engagement. Mm-hmm. I was so scared to do that. But man, I remember the night I called it off, I called my friend after and I go, it's done. Like, it's done. And like, peace overwhelmed me. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of times we don't trust the Lord to speak. Therefore, we don't listen to the promptings. But also, we then think that we need to have 100% confidence or 100% peace before moving in the direction. But it's also going, do you trust God's character to trust that he's kind? And wherever he's leading you, it's not going to be into harm.
I will tell you this. I'm 33 now. And having lived through those moments where I felt God nudging me in one direction or another, one example was me going to Watermark Plano. I felt like I am being exiled. Like, whoa, oh my gosh.
And that is a church, for those that don't know, that's another, it's like a church that we went to and met at.
Right.
And it's another branch of it.
It's a branch of it, which is a little bit up north, which is mostly families.
Yes.
And so I was in this single era, really wanted to be married, and was settled. And now I'm getting asked to go lead children's ministry up at Watermark Plano. And I'm like, children's ministry? What the actual?
What?
And also,
I would think that's not God if I heard that. I'd be like, No, sir.
No, I literally like used the word exile in my journal. I was like, I'm getting exiled to Plano. And in but I knew there was something in my spirit. And this is where it's a little bit different than what you're saying, but very similar. Like, I had that wrestle, but there was something in my spirit that felt peace. Like, I knew God was asking me to do that. I knew this was the right move, even though logically it didn't make sense. I'm like, all right, so how am I going to get married when I'm literally around zero single people and I'm leading kids ministry?
Yep.
And anyways,
and it turned out.
Let me tell you this. Like, those 3 years, God was setting me up for what we're doing right now.
Exactly.
I had no clue that I was a gifted teacher. I had absolutely no clue. And as I was teaching kids and people would come, like our senior pastor and other people would come and listen to me teach. And they're like, wait a second. We got to steward this. Like, we got to train this girl up. And then I'd gotten asked to lead worship through a relationship at Watermark Plano. And then she was like, you know what? If you're coming, you're teaching. And that was my first time teaching women. And I was also going through a heartbreak. And I came back from that beaming. I was like, a lot of people after they teach on stage, they're like, oh my gosh, I need to like sleep for days on end. I'm like, I could run through a brick wall. Let me go. Like, I just was so fired up. And it brought so much life to me. It was so fun connecting with the women. And it was through that season where God was leading me. That didn't make sense. Like, he didn't tell me, hey, I'm leading you here so I can uncover that you have the gift of teaching. And you're going to start this podcast with a girl named Nicoletta that, by the way, you're also going to go through another breakup. Like, he didn't say that. Yeah. He didn't say, this is all going to happen and here's exactly what I'm doing. He said, "Do you trust me?" And in that, my faith was strengthened. So here's why I'm sharing that. Now I'm 33 and I've been through that enough times. I've been through God telling me this is the direction that I want you to go. And me saying, logically, this does not line up, but I trust you and we're going. And then on the other side, being like, whoa, you were doing so much more than I could have ever imagined. Mm. Now it's a lot easier. Having exercised that faith muscle and watched God show up, now it's a lot easier.
Yes.
To be like, oh yeah. It's not even a question. I'm doing this.
Yes.
And I'll tell you this. When we got pregnant with Luke, there was something in me that knew it wasn't right. Something.
Yes.
Something was, I just knew. And then when it came, this is not everyone's story, so that's why I'm being really sensitive right now. And I just kind of discounted that as that's fear. And it could have been, you know what I mean? But there was something in me, I think, where God was preparing me for that loss. And I journaled this morning. I'm like, similarly to you, Nicoletta, I'm like, I have grown so much in the past 8 weeks. My faith has been tested. My husband and I have gotten to work together through grief, through mountaintops of teaching together on God's design when we're also working through the flu and going through a miscarriage and just another like number of random things that just kept happening. I'm like, our relationship is strengthened. My faith in God is strengthened. And I feel like you're really good at this, Nicoletta, where you are very vulnerable. I just don't lead with that. I'm a 7. I want to have fun.
She wants like, to fly. Like,
let's just, who cares about the hard stuff? Like, let's just have fun. And remember, life is amazing and it's incredible and God's got us and who wants to go cliff diving, you know? And I think even stopping and sharing on the podcast, here's what's live. Like, here's what I'm going through right now. It's not supernatural for me.
Yeah.
I'll be super vulnerable with the people in my life, but like, they probably have to ask me a question first because I don't lead with that.
Yeah.
I lead with fun. And anyways, I think I'm growing in that as well. And it's what my husband always says, like, he's like, open up. I'm like, oh, I am open. You know, like, oh, this is what you mean.
That's what
you want to know
means.
How I'm feeling. I don't know how I'm feeling. You know what I mean? Anyway, so.
But I'm like so encouraged that one, you're willing to open up on a podcast. Mm-hmm. And just because I think it was intentional that we haven't had the ability to catch up in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So that we can have this conversation in this place. But I also really want y'all to hear is that Laura and I aren't, I mean, we are color holy, but we're not holier than anybody else. We are not special. Like, God doesn't speak to us because we are all these different things. Like, God speaks to us because we're willing to listen. And I think that is oftentimes where I just want to encourage girls who are like, how do you hear God's voice? God never speaks to me. He must not love me. He must not care for me. And it's funny because Laura and I were talking about this morning of where that might not be an area of my struggle, but I often can believe that God's love for me or God whatever is based on my performance. And I've just been sitting in this week of the Lord still showing up and giving me these visions or these pictures, but it's also in the process of him revealing sin. Like earlier this week on Monday, I felt like the Lord was like, hey, you were really prideful this weekend. And so then in my mind, I was like, well, he's not going to show up in God's word.
He's done with me.
He's done with me.
He literally wants me dead.
Like. Yep, he hates me. He's disappointed in all these things. And here's the truth of that, what I feel like the Lord's teaching me right now. He's like, my love for you isn't based on your performance, despite everybody else's love for you often being based on your performance.
Yeah.
And even this morning, I kind of was just processing through. Once again, I don't like the word visions, but even got a picture today of the Lord kind of like walking me through all these different moments in my life where like even in third grade, I didn't play well in the sport on the playground and this kid got upset with me to where I remember dating this one guy and he was like, man, why can't you just be more like this? And so I literally did a deep dive of like, Lord, who do you say that you are? Because I often can believe that I'm not loved unless I do things for you. Like, you will be upset with me if I don't. Or it's basically just this belief of like, be better, do more, all the things. Which we know isn't true if we are believers and Christians. But it's interesting. I wrote down a few verses and it's like, this one was my favorite. It's Titus 3:4-7. And just basically to sum it up, it says, God's kindness and love is given to us not because of our own performance in any way, but by the performance of a person. Mm-hmm. And then Ephesians 3:18, it just talks about how wide and deep and long and high is his love for you and for me. And I just literally was praying like, Lord, I need you to help me believe that you love me and that it doesn't go away when I sin or when I disappoint someone. Because how often, especially, gosh, I think it's so easy with dating, especially to believe like, well, if I'm not all these things, I won't be chosen, which sometimes is true. Mm. Like somebody sees the real you and doesn't want you anymore. When the Jesus is like, no, I created the real you and I love the real you, because when I made you, I don't make mistakes. And that's once again, really truly what I focus in about Noble, because I'm like, you are royalty. You are the daughter of a king and there is no flaw in you. And I just love Jeremiah 31:3. It goes, I have loved you with an everlasting love and have drawn you with unfailing kindness. And in that, it's not saying I have loved you because you do these things. I have loved you if and when you are these things. He goes, no, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And because of that, because of my kindness, then you choose if you love me back. And so it's just, I don't know. Have you ever struggled with that?
Oh, for sure.
I think it's like the 3 on the Enneagram vibe of like, I don't know. I'm not a big Enneagram girl, but it's like enough to know that I'm like so black and white. I'm so pass and fail. And so it's really the area that the Lord is just chipping away my heart right now.
I think to some extent we all struggle with that because we've grown up with parents who say good job. I say it to my daughter all the time. And then we can start craving that. This is not a parenting tip. I say good job all the time. Some people say don't say good job, whatever. Your kid's going to need Jesus either way. We grow up with parents who praise whatever things.
Performance,
academic
behavior.
Achievement. Yeah. Good behavior. You learn these like, okay, this will get me the love and acceptance I desire.
Yes.
And that's not what your parents are telling you. Maybe some parents are, but that's the message that you receive. And then you go to school and you want to play sports or you want to be the prettiest and you learn if I'm prettier, if I'm better, I'll be more accepted. This will get me the love and acceptance I desire. And what happens is all these things happen throughout our life that bleed into how we view God. Instead of coming at this foundational view of this is who God is. I am accepted because of his grace, because I can't be good and I will never be able to be good, but he has loved me and chosen me and said, Jesus replaces all the bad stuff with good, you know, by his spirit, by God's spirit. But we don't come with that foundational view. We have to unlearn some of the things that we've taken in throughout our entire lives of you are more celebrated, more loved when you have money, power, influence, looks, achievement. And for me, it was my talent. Like I always put so much stake in my talent and I didn't know I didn't think I struggled with comparison. And it's because straight up, I was so ugly hearted and thought that I always fell on the higher end of the stick. And then I learned, okay, wait, I actually do struggle with comparison and it's one and the same. It all comes from a view of an over-focus on what we can do, what we have to offer. And it's like, we're completely missing it. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God's grace. And anything good that is in me,
literally,
anything good that is in you is because of God. That is God's grace to you. And that is meant to glorify God. It is not meant to give you this pedestal. It's meant to give you this heightened sense of ego, because the ego that can be inflated is the ego that can be deflated.
Yes.
And then we start taking that and putting it on God and thinking he's going to love us more, or he's going to be mad at us when we mess up, when we sleep with that guy, when we get drunk, when we feel prideful or wonder why we're still struggling with disordered eating
or body image. Yes.
We're still struggling. We're like, God likes me less right now. And he is like, wait a second, where do you see that in scripture?
Yes.
I have literally communicated over and over, I'm waiting to have compassion on you. Literally, it says this. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and his compassion. He's talking to Judah, who has gone far away. And he's like, I have plans for you. I'm just waiting for you to turn back. And so I can't wait to show you my compassion. And then, okay, this is the last thing. Cause I know you have so much to say.
This is literally what God teaching me this week. I'm like so pumped up.
You read the Gospels and you see 2 very distinct people groups. You see the Pharisees and the Sadducees who have done all the right things. Their prayers are incredible. They want respect. They want honor. and they want to sit at the table of honor, it says, and they do all the right things. They keep the Sabbath. They create all these extra rules so that they don't break the rules in scripture. And then Jesus, over and over and over, favors who? The woman caught in adultery. He's like, who's going to throw a stone at her?
Yeah.
And he speaks with tenderness. And he's like, I love you, you know? And he's like, go and sin no more. You know, when you come face to face with my radical love, that's what makes you not want to sin. Not because I'm asking you to be better or do better.
Yeah.
But because I've loved you and I've forgiven you.
Yeah.
Now, out of that love, out of that forgiveness, out of that unconditional acceptance, I know you're not living with your husband. You know, I know the man you're living with is not your husband. You've lived with several men before, he says to another woman. You know, go and sin no more. I love you.
Yeah.
It's all right. Come, I'm having this conversation face to face. And it's a very different conversation than he's having with the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are like, look at me, God, I'm doing all the right things. And trying to, it's just ugly hearted. And it's like, it's never what I've been about.
Yeah. Honestly, that gets me so fired up. I think something that I've noticed a lot lately, especially in college culture.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of girls will come to college not knowing the Lord. They'll get plugged into a ministry. And now it's this overwhelming of doing. And it's like, okay, great. Now that I love Jesus, I need to stop drinking, stop having sex, stop doing all these wrong things. But in reality, like Jesus says, no, let me come in and I will clean out the dirty things in you. It's not a great, now you're a Christian. It was interesting. I had this conversation with my roommate. It's so crazy how people are attracted to Jesus because of the grace and the compassion and the love that he offers. And then immediately when you accept that, people slap rules on you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? That it's like happened. Now that you've experienced God's overwhelming grace, you need to stop sleeping with your boyfriend and you need to stop having sex. And it's all these things. And it's like, this girl's like, I just accepted Jesus yesterday. And it becomes now doing this rule-based religion. It's this performance-based acceptance and love. And then it's the shame of going, well, I'm not the perfect Christian. Therefore, God, his grace and his love that initially attracted me to him must not exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen has been really crazy. I'm walking with a girl who just found the Lord about 3 months ago. And we talk all the time on the phone. And it's been interesting because my initial reaction is going, she's still on the dating app. She's still kind of drinking every once in a while. She's still kind of doing these things. But it's in the last 3 months, every time we talk, she'll go, I just feel like I need to get off the dating apps. I just feel like drinking isn't doing it for me anymore. I mean, I just feel like I don't want to do that. Like, I just feel like the Lord's telling me no. And it's been this beautiful picture of the very first time of me like, I'm not really going to say anything for the first few months. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work. And it's crazy to see these things happen. And it's like coming from a girl who has tried everything under the sun to get rid of her eating disorder. The only thing that has ever worked is the Lord cleaning out the ugly rooms in me, coming in and going, can I do the hard work for you? Like, that is literally Christianity. He's going, I make you new. I make you, I help you release the things that are keeping you enslaved and keeping you in track. But I also don't shame you when you fall back into it. I say, can I help you continue to get out of it? And oh, it just gets me so fired up that so many people are just like, and I'm on the other side of it though, is that I also believe the lies of like, oh my gosh, if I'm not perfect, I'm not loved. And he goes, you will never be perfect. And I love you even in your imperfections. And I don't shame you in them, but rather, can I help you get out of them? Oh, I have so many things I could say, but I feel like you're about to say something good.
I love this conversation because I think that we try to rush the Holy Spirit and we forget to be patient with people who are new to the
faith. Yes.
And honestly, it's discipleship. Like, there is something to somebody coming brand new to the faith or just stepping back into the church or just wherever you are. It's okay to be there.
Yes.
And okay, here's another pendulum swing that happens. We have Christians and we can fall on one end of the spectrum at different places. One pendulum swing happens where nobody ever calls anyone out of sin.
Yes.
And it's not okay. Like, you have entire churches who have never really preached the gospel and called people to repentance when there's repentance is everywhere. And you, like, I needed somebody to look at me and say, Laura, I'm going to just say this, your pants are too tight. And I'm like, oh, I never considered that. I never considered modesty. Oh my gosh, because you called me out for that, I started taking a look at that. And it was after I made that change that I realized, yes. Oh my gosh, I've been compensating for my low self-worth by putting it in my body and getting the attention from the tight pants and the low cut shirts, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that until somebody called me out. And that's God's grace to me. Somebody calling me out of sin. Thank you, Allie Wall, by the way. And like, that is such a gift. Like James talks about turning a sinner from his way. Like that is highly praised, highly celebrated. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but an enemy multiplies kisses. We're not doing each other favors by just saying, everything you're doing is fine. Just keep sleeping with him.
Totally.
But there's a way to do it. Okay, the scriptures literally say this here. I'm gonna read this. First Thessalonians 5. I'm starting in verse 14.
Tough word to say.
First Thessalonians 5. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Wait a second. It just says, be patient with them all.
Yeah.
But it's talking about how you are going to approach different situations and different people with different things. Admonish the idle. Like the person who is complacent in their sin, admonish that person. Encourage the faint-hearted. The person who's coming to you with like, I'm just weary about, you know, whatever. You're not going to say like, well, you need to stop sleeping with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then help the weak. Be patient with them all. There are other scriptures that talk about admonishment, but regardless, being patient with people, I think here's what happens. We rush to correct sin without praying and without trusting that the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to be the Holy Spirit.
Totally.
You are not that person's Holy Spirit. Instead of rushing to correct somebody's sin, scripture says, take the plank out of your own eye. You see the speck in somebody else's, but you don't realize you have a plank in your own.
Totally, yes.
That is not saying don't call people out. There, you got to balance all of scripture in context with one another. But take a look at yourself. Where am I doing this? Where am I prideful in coming and saying, you need to stop having sex, but I haven't addressed my ego. And so anyways, there's that.
And I love I think there's just a lot of wisdom with that too. Like, for example, if I was sleeping around, you would call me out immediately the second I said that. But there's a difference with this girl. She's just finding the Lord. Plus, I just feel like we've so forget. Like, I know that WWJD is such a cliche in the Christian culture, but a lot of times it actually is really helpful of like, what would Jesus do in this situation? He would not go, I'm so glad you finally gave your life to me. Now we're going to stop doing this and start putting rules. And he goes, hey, the more you fall in love with me, those things are going to start not tasting very good.
Yeah.
But you need to know me more so that you then replace. And oftentimes I'm reading Atomic Habits. In order to break a bad habit, you have to replace it with something else. And that's literally the Christian walk. It's not that you're putting a rule on stopping the drink or stopping the sex. It's that you are literally just replacing it with the love and the grace and the kindness of Jesus. And you want that more.
It's Ephesians talks about that.
Says, exactly.
Put off the old self and put on the new self.
But it's not an action. It's not a literal like get the rules. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it's
totally. Literally, but if you're replacing,
yes. And everything good you said earlier comes from above. You even being able to take off your old self is a gift from the Lord. It's not because you did anything to earn that or deserve that. Sorry, I'm just passionate about the thing.
No, I think we just need to give room for the Holy Spirit to work.
Yes.
And we also need to be faithful. Like some people listening to this, for you, you need to speak up. You've never spoken up. And start with questions. Lead with, hey, have you
always
ever considered
ask questions.
This? Or, hey, what does this look like for you? Have you prayed about that? Because it's going to be so much better if that conversation goes, you know what? It's funny that you bring that up. I actually was just praying and I felt like God was telling me this. And now that really confirms, I got to stop sleeping with my boyfriend. You know what I mean?
Like, wow, I didn't have to tell you.
And then you're like, I really love you. Thank you. You know, versus coming on strong and being like, you have to stop doing this. You need to be like this. And we're not going to do it perfectly. So there's so much grace for you as well. If you're the person coming in with the
hammer,
you know,
but why would anyone want to follow Jesus?
Totally.
If that was the response.
Totally.
Truly. I'm like, the only reason I love Jesus is because of his kindness and his love, not because of his hammer. You don't want to be with a boyfriend that's constantly putting rules on you. If you need to do, you choose to marry someone because they unconditionally love you despite your flaws. And so, oh man, I just literally, this is the last thing I'll say because I feel like I'm interrupting you, but this is just what I'm walking through these college girlies right now of just literally going, my friends have been like, yeah, I've been mentoring this girl and I told her she needs to stop sleeping with her boyfriend. I'm like, did you ask her questions in the process?
Yeah.
And they're like, no. And I'm like, you need to ask her like, hey, how does, like, you know, she knows Jesus. You literally saw the moment she became converted. And so for you to slap a rule on her, what if you asked her like, hey, like, how do you feel after you have sex with your boyfriend? If she knows Jesus, she's going to be like, you know, I mean, it's awesome, but like for some reason, I just kind of like feel like, ah, it's like, man, like, tell me more about that.
Yeah.
Like, why do you feel like, ah? And then let her come to the conclusion with you walking alongside her. And I think there's just levels of maturity in the same way that if you did not call me out when you saw sin, that would mean you're a bad friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Truly.
Well, and here's another thing that we can do that we miss. Open up God's word and put it in front of him.
Literally.
And then ask him, like, what is this? Because you got to trust that the word of God doesn't return void.
Yes.
You trust the Holy Spirit to speak as well. If you're going through scripture with that girl, you know, then it becomes not because I told you to stop doing that.
Yes.
You come face to face with God and you're like, oh my gosh, I have a decision to make
here.
Yes. That is so much better than somebody told me to stop doing this. Again, there's a place for everything.
Totally.
There's a time for everything. I tend more towards like, hey, you got to stop doing that.
Yes.
But in a context where people feel loved and they're like, okay, I actually love it when Laura is like, stop doing that, because she's not coming at me all the time saying, stop doing that. And she's telling me this is going to benefit me in my relationship with God and the freedom that I feel and the anxiety that I feel anyways. And so you got to know your own bent.
Like, but you only know that because you know that it says that in God's word.
Yes.
And I always say it's truth that sets you free.
Yeah.
Not rules, not condemnation, not putting that hammer down. It's literally truth.
Yeah.
Reading this and going, oh, God says not to have sex because it'll lead to pain. It'll lead to more hurt. Like, I experienced that. Like, I can confidently tell you, don't have sex before marriage. I'm not even married, but every single guy I had sex with, we broke up.
Yeah.
And you know what that did? It hurt my heart 10,000 times more than the boys that I dated that we didn't. We were literally two pieces of duct tape glued together. And that breakup was like ripping those two things apart compared to the guys that we were really honoring to our bodies and honoring to each other. The breakup took 3 months to recover. Compared to the guys I dated in high school and in college that were so painful. I don't know. I could keep going.
I know. I want to do things I want to talk about. This.
But okay, I know that we're running out of time. I do want to ask you though, kind of going back, Laura, to the very beginning of this episode. I want us to end with just talking to the girl who's experiencing a miscarriage. Like, what would you say to her? Yeah. What handholds, takeaways, encouragement would you want to leave someone with in that? I know, total like pivot, but I really want to make sure we touch on this before the episode ends.
No, I think resist the urge to say something profound. I've heard that statement before. This is not my own. I'm taking that from someone else. When somebody is in grief, you don't have to say the most wise thing or the most comforting thing. You just got to show up.
Yeah.
Bring them a meal. Bring them, like, ask them how they're doing today versus how they're doing in general. Because that question can be overwhelming. How are you doing? I don't know. You mean like 5 minutes ago? Or, you know, have I cried today? What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Just make it simple for them to answer. How are you doing today? Like, or how's your like grief level 1 to 10?
Yeah,
you know, good. Or how's your joy? I don't know. Like, you can just come up with questions that are a little more simple.
Yeah, it's good.
And then for the person who experiencing miscarriage or the loss of a child, I know God better because I lost a child, straight up. Like, I know God better because I'm like, God, you willingly gave up your son. I would never do that. I just wouldn't. And Abraham put Isaac on the altar, and I'm like, I don't have that kind of faith. You have so much love for us that you sacrificed what was most important to you.
For me.
If I could tell you the number one thought that goes through my head on a single, like every single day, every single moment, I think about how much I love my daughter. I say it out loud. I tell her. I tell her she's the most amazing human that has ever existed. She's the cutest thing. I love you more than everything that could ever exist ever. I say stuff like that all the time, and I feel it so deeply. And the fact that God was like, I feel that, like, that's a human version of what I feel. And I'm laying it down so that I can have you. Oh my gosh. Performance-based acceptance. What? This is the God who sent what was most precious to him, who was most precious to him, to be tortured, handed him over. I'm experiencing grief from my loss. And it wasn't willingly. Like, God willingly handed his son over and said, you can kill him and torture him and spit on him and mock him, because that means I get to have a relationship with you. Oh my gosh. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, for that you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives graciously to all without finding fault. This is the beginning of the book of James. Another thing I just want to tell you, if you're going through the loss of a child or miscarriage, miscarriage specifically, there's a scripture that says it's better to have not been born because they don't see the evil that is here. And that is comforting to know that Luke will never suffer the way, it will never experience an ounce of the pain that I've experienced, that you've experienced, that you have experienced. And there is something so beautiful about knowing he is a soul, he is a life that God has a plan for in heaven. And he's there celebrating with him. And we get to be reunited one day.
I saw it.
Yeah, you saw it, girl. You saw it. and there are so many other verses. Honestly, we'll link some. We'll share some with you, because this is a really tender thing. But just if you've experienced the loss of a child, or if you know someone who has experienced the loss of a child, it's okay for your grief to go on different timelines. Like, you, it might come and go. You might be doing a workout class like I was, and all of a sudden you've been fine and now you're weeping in your car, you know, leaving, trying not to show all these strangers who have no clue what's going on. You know, who cares if they saw anyways, but then you're weeping in your car, and that's okay. And it's okay if you are like, you know what? I'm okay. My midwife said this to me as she was telling me, hey, your HCG levels are going down, AKA you're having a miscarriage. Yeah. She told me, like, hey, I think when you went to the ER, you were actively miscarrying.
Yeah.
She was like, according to the test results that I'm seeing. And she was so tender. She was really sweet. Shout out Jen. Thank you. At Origins, this is not sponsored, but she was like, however you grieve is okay. Like, it's okay if you're like, we're fine. We trust God. We're at peace. And it's okay if you're like, I need some time. I need to take off work. I need to lay in bed. I just need time. And so anyways, I think whatever grief you're experiencing, grief goes in different timelines. It is not, you are not expected to grieve the way someone else grieves, and you are not expected to just be okay. And you're also not expected to just be down in the dumps, because that's what you see other people. So that doesn't make you less human or less feely. Anyways, I think there are some things, and we'll share some more later.
Dang. Well, I'm encouraged by you, and just love you and forever in your corner. And thank you for just being so vulnerable. And y'all, there's so much more we want to talk about, but we have, there are about 30 seconds left until this episode's over. And so we love you guys. We're for you guys. Truly encouraged by you, Laura. Yeah. And we'll catch you next week.
Yeah. Shout out to Catherine. Shout out to Abigail, our girls who have been helping us. We love y'all so much. Taking pictures, doing videos. If y'all need... if y'all need some people in your corner, we'll link them. And also, please keep supporting us. When we see your Venmos come through, it really helps us get video editing done. It helps us get so many things accomplished that we can't do on our own. So your financial support is everything to us. Please watch on YouTube, because that is also going to help us in the long run and get this message out to more people. We're already actively having conversations with people who don't know Jesus because of YouTube. So find us on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, however you want to connect. Send us your DMs. We love y'all, and we'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.